I'm out at work. I'm at Fountain Gate Shopping Centre. And I need a coffee. Right? I don't know how passionate you guys get about your coffee. I'm not like a coffee snob, but I want the basics.
No, I'm a coffee snob, bro.
You're a coffee snob?
Yeah. No. Look, sometimes I'll have a bad, like I'll enjoy a bad coffee, which sounds a bit weird. But look, I think I have an appreciation, obviously, yeah, as we all do. Yeah.
And I think especially these days when you're paying like $5 for a coffee, you want it to be drinkable. You want to not be insulted. Like, you know, there's fair expectation, right?
That is fair.
So I'm going to call the place out specifically as well, just to warn our many viewers. Do not go to Jamaica Blue.
Ooh.
Not mistake number one. That's probably the worst of the chains. But it was the first one I walked past.
What is Jamaica Blue?
It's a low quality coffee chain, apparently. Yeah.
Like anyway. Hudson's type vibe? Is that what we're talking about?
I don't even
like?
Know, man. Yeah. But it was the first one I saw. Man needed a coffee.
All of Jamaica's like, we don't claim this guy.
So anyway, lately I've been getting the takeaway cappuccino. Like mix it up a bit. I was on lattes for a while, cappuccino. Just keep the rotation going.
Regular milk.
Regular milk, yeah. Unless it's one of those guys. Fasting day. Yeah. In that case, oat milk. Anyway, man gets a small cappuccino, takeaway. Yeah. Simple order, right? Lady goes and she hands out. She goes, oh, here's your latte. I say, okay, fair enough, mistake. I said, oh, no, I asked for a cappuccino. I thought maybe there was two people ordering. She just needed to hand it over to the next guy. But no, it was mine. And she turns around as if to like remake it. I'm like, no, just give it. It's all right. I'll drink the latte, no problem. She goes, No, I'll make it a cappuccino. She takes the lid off and just sprinkles chocolate on top and gives it back to me. Mate, I'm no coffee expert here, but I know that that's not the only difference between a latte and a cappuccino. I'm still angry about it.
What'd you do?
I just drank it. I just drank it. I was that shocked. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to cause a scene here. Let's just walk away and hope that it's a decent latte.
Yeah.
Worst latte of all time to top it off. It was not even
too
hot.
Too chocolatey.
It was more cold than hot and just tasted like milk.
That's crazy, man.
Man,
crazy.
Shame on you, lady at Jamaica Blue Fountain Gate.
Was that a first day?
Like, no, she was a pretty old woman.
Okay.
So I figure she's made a few coffees in her time.
Yeah. Melbourne's meant to be this coffee central of the world, but it's so hit or miss, man. It's
occasionally
so
you get your... You get your pride taken away from you.
Yeah, 100%.
I had a similar story. I had a Chasen yesterday, and I just went I'm an oat latte guy. I know, it's bad, right? And I'm like, oat latte small. And then the girl makes it. It's a big queue. Yeah. She's like, oat latte extra hot. And I'm like,
extra hot?
I'm like, I got an oat latte, but not extra hot. And she's like, oh, all right. She grabs it. Dumps it in the bin like that, like slam dunk. Not angry, but kind of like... I think she was like, she wasn't angry at me, but I think she just kind of enjoyed like just throwing at that coffee. It was weird. Yeah. Like almost like, man, I do this shit every day.
It's like those smashing rooms, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. She was smashing blades. She's like, oh, not extra hot? Oh, this is extra hot.
She could have just said, wait 5 minutes.
And I'm just like, nah, because they burn it, bro. You don't want extra. Anytime any coffee's hot, that's not hot. That's boiling to the point where, you know, you could light a house on fire with that.
The only people who are allowed to get those are if you're over like 55 years old. They're the only people I'm like, all right, you can have your extra hot. Everyone else, what are you doing?
Why do they need extra hot?
I don't know. But the only people I know who have gotten it is old people.
You know what? You're right, actually.
Straight up. Like, it's not a young, it's not a millennial thing. It's not a, you know, gen. Well, I don't know, the gens, you know, young gens. But anyway.
That set me off.
Yeah, no, fair enough, mate.
Anyway, my other story before we get to the footy is more of a funny, it's more like naturally just a funny story, right? Yeah. So I've been trying to get back into the gym routine lately. So I was there the other day, one of the first times I've been in a while. And I just hear from the other end of the gym, it was pretty quiet. So you can see who's making the noise, right? I just hear, this is going to sound weird for the audio only people, but I just hear this from the other side of the gym. I'm like, man, who's walked in here? Like, who has walked in here, bro? Anyway, I turn and I just see the back of this guy. He's carrying like the largest dumbbell in the joint. Like, I don't even know how many kilos is on this thing. I reckon it was my body weight in dumbbell form is what this guy's lifting, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, first thought is just like, man, that guy's an animal. He turns around at that exact moment and his t-shirt just has one word on it. Animal. Mate, he knew what he was.
He knew
what he was. He made me feel like shit.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to go back in there. Next time I walk in, novice or skinny. I don't know if you guys have experienced that, but like this was like next level grunt work at the gym. Like,
look, a little quick one. There was a dude who was grunting at my gym and it was like he was doing, it wasn't like this, your guy. Your guy deserves to grunt.
Oh, he was
my funny. Dude was doing like higher rep range, low weight, but just he gets to like the 20th or 30th rep and he's literally screaming. he's yelling the whole, like he's, everyone can hear. And then he just goes about his day like nothing's happening. I'm like, bro, you're screaming. What are you doing? Like, I'm uncomfortable with you near me. Like,
I think he needs to invest in some equipment. Yeah, at home. That's the home stuff right there.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to do like what you did and, you know, do the voice. I'm not doing, I'm not embarrassing myself like that. Because it's like, we're talking like big moans and groans.
Look, yours sounds a bit more,
some people like get off masculine. On that type of stuff.
Yours sounds a bit less masculine.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Anyway.
This guy, man, cheers.
Yeah. When I went to Dairy Moot for the first time, right?
Dairy Moot.
Dairy Moot, right? Yeah. I was a bit intimidated, right? Because I'm not sure if you can tell, I'm not that much of a physical, I'm not a beast like that guy, right? So I'm walking in, there's people everywhere, and I go down to get to the bench press, right? And some guy starts walking towards me. He's like what I would be like if I'd been in the gym for 10 years and had also been to jail for two, right?
Right? So you have real gym time there.
Yeah. He just boom. Boom, like the, you know, he's walking in slow motion like a hot chick in like a Hollywood film, except he was this guy that was coming to destroy me, right? And I thought, shit, I'm in the spot. Oh no, whatever. And he goes up, he's got a teardrop. The guy has a teardrop.
Oh, bro.
He's a teardrop. The jail. He's, yep.
That's the jail, right?
Yeah.
Teardrop. And he goes, excuse me, mate. You done with those weights? Like legit like that, bro. I'm like, fine.
Yeah, bro. Like, yeah,
the juxtaposition of what I thought this guy was to his voice.
For all I know, the animal at my gym might speak like that.
Yeah, could you imagine? I reckon he would.
Yeah, maybe.
Jeez. Fuck. Anyway, that's enough life stuff. But
yeah, nah. Because look, that was entertaining. Not gonna lie. But fine. You know what else was entertaining? The footy this week.
Footy was fantastic.
Legit.
Finally got a final.
Exactly. What an improvement from the previous week, man. Like this is what I missed while I was away. This type of footy, man. Dramas.
I think it proves as well, like what we thought going into the finals, like all these teams could win it.
Yeah.
And like the game quality and the closeness was flip of a coin, really. Mm. I guess we started on Friday night. Port response.
Yeah.
No one thought they could. We were saying last week, not only were their odds at this home game lower than Hawthorn, but for the grand final was like ridiculously low.
Yeah. And Dixon goes out, laid out nice and early. You know, big boy. His butter's underdone, this and that.
He's got rib injuries, but he's playing.
Exactly. But look, man, I think they deserve this win in the end.
I 100% agree.
Like, Hawthorn were gifted a couple goals, like the Chol one. There was another one. I think Dylan Moore as well. They got gifted a couple goals to keep him in it. But look, they made it a fight though, the Hawks, man.
Oh,
You still have to, you know, score the goals to get you in there. So
both teams, fun game. Laid it all out there. It was a great game.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, Port Adelaide set the tone like with that tackle pressure in that first quarter. I haven't seen anything like it, man. But they had like five or six holding the balls in the first quarter just from tackling.
Yeah.
So they came with an intensity and you could just tell there was big bodies, man. But the interesting thing for me was like they came, they're laying it all down and they hadn't put a lot of scoreboard pressure on.
Mm.
Yeah. And it's like, well, so is this going to be one of those ones where Port throw everything at Hawthorn? Hawthorn managed to hold firm. And then once the game starts to open up through tiredness, they can slingshot and overrun them. And it never actually happened. And you're right, Matt's like what you're saying with the umpires, I feel like Paul were just on top until the momentum changed due to a couple of goals from umpire. That can't be denied, right?
Yeah.
One of those ones I think was there. The second dangerous tackle I think was there. The first one was just not.
The one on Dylan Moore we reckon was there.
The one that ended up being a 50 from Jason Hall Francis.
Look, I think it probably was because his head went into the ground, but like that's one of those ones where you can tell Dylan Moore's milking it. Like you can see him turn his head into the ground as he's going. Yeah. So I think, you know, I think there's a little bit of, you know, playing for it. And that's what some of the best players do. You just have to take advantage of the rule.
It was a pretty weirdly umpired game. I know it's a very intense and fast physical game, but there was a few of those dangerous tackles in the middle of the park that weren't getting called.
Yeah.
And then those ones in the 50 were, it was kind of
I feel like umpires strange. Are too scared to pay that stuff in the last quarter.
Yeah.
But I think they should be scared to pay it just in general. Just stop paying. Just don't. Anyway. Yeah. But no doubt Hawks had their ascendancy after kind of they got the momentum from that.
Mm-hmm.
But and then it was just a grind of a game. Huh?
Yeah.
I just thought both teams' forwards, like tall forwards, didn't really have much of an impact.
No.
And like it's just amazing for like a full game of just kick it into the 50, rebound it into the 50, rebound it to 50, and just the arcs are playing their game.
Pretty much.
And their small forwards really really were the ones that made it happen. Like Willy Rioli, amazing game. Nick Watson, amazing game.
I was going to say, in their like little patch of dominance for the Hawks, it was two goals in the second for Watson and then one in the third. And they're all stunning goals as well. Amazing. Like one, the snap, the set shot from about 40 on an angle, and another one running in. It was excellent, man. Like that's... I think we got to give Nicky Watson like official. Like I think we already.
He's a wizard, man.
He's a wizard. He's no longer a muggle or, you know, a mud blood or any of that stuff. Any of those, you know, derogatory, you know, Harry Potter terms.
He plays Quidditch now, man.
He plays Quidditch. He's the seeker.
He's moved on from Philosopher's Stone onto Chamber of Secrets next.
Mate, he's progressing. You know, Goblet of Fire. What else? I can't remember.
That's later.
I'm half blood prince. Just name them all.
Extremely
impressive for a first year player to perform, like almost like their best performing player.
Yeah. Well, this game sort of showed off what the scouting report was on him, including the marking, which for his size, when the ball's kicked to his advantage, he can get up there and claim the ball. You know, great player. I think the Hawthorn forward line specifically has a lot of room for growth, which is kind of scary because Kel Shadir, Watson, just getting started now. Obviously, Guinea's doing his thing.
They need probably another genuine tall. I mean, like, let's not forget Sicily came and swung into the last quarter and had, I think he had three shots of goal, kicked one.
Yeah.
Mm. And whilst we're on the topic, right, they're going to get Battle and Barris next year, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, there's a crunch for spots in the defense. It could very easily be Sicily can play full-time forward
potentially,
or half-game forward.
He started career forward, didn't he?
He did. He 100% he did. And that opens up a lot of things for them. Where does that leave someone like Mitch Lewis all of a sudden? You know, because you've already got Kel Shadir, you've got Chol. It gets really interesting, man. Yeah. But good for them because all of a sudden there's this huge amount of depth. Like you still have, you know, his name, Jai Sarong, Frost, who can do a role. Phillips.
Blank as well in defense.
Blank. That's the one that I forgot, actually.
So they've gone from having no depth in the keys to quite a few options now because of good recruiting, obviously.
Yeah. I think we didn't expect to see this level out of Kel Shadir, obviously. And I don't think we expected Chol to be this good either. Mm. Like, we thought he'd be, like, okay. But, like, to be an impact player like this and he's hardworking and he's, you know, making tackles, it's, you know,
They've had ridiculous improvement from a lot of players. And, like, D'Ambrosio... Right, Scrimshaw. It was a very high draft pick, but he's had an amazing year. And almost, if you included the final series in the All Australian thought process, I reckon he'd make the squad. Even
like who's this?
Scrimshaw.
Yeah, true.
He had two great finals, right?
So there's another key defender because he's been a key back pretty much this year.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like he's held, you know, a lot of, you know, taller assignments. So
yeah, so he's going to get more license to start running and carrying.
Yes. Yeah. True.
I mean, Lloyd Meek, like a lot of their play, like they recruited Ginnivan. Like that's just throwing players that make immediate impact into the team. No surprise that it has once the team gels, they've improved significantly. So look, they should be very proud of that effort. They could have done it. Sicily could have captained it. A little bit of happy feet from D'Ambrosio nearly got, like, you know, crazy, right? But I think if I was to summarize, I think Port played the better game, but it was tight, man.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that Sicily moment, I mean, the kick obviously was close and hit the post and whatever, but that mark was ridiculous. And I don't know if you guys knew this, but because on tally we wouldn't have known, but I just checked and at the time he scored the behind, it was minute 34:40. So if you're in that stadium and you don't know how long's left.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
That's late in the quarter. And then there was another, like you mentioned then, the D'Ambrosio moment and stuff. Like it would have been probably siren went at about 36 potentially. Which is crazy.
That's a long quarter.
Imagine how stressed you'd be as a Port fan. My God. But now, full credit to Port. I really like Georgiadis' game.
Yep.
Obviously, the pressure was on from all of them. And Connor Rozzi, I thought, like, he didn't gather 30-plus touches like he can. But every time he got it, he was so hard to tackle.
Yeah. Their mids tackled a lot as well. Like, Drew, Butters, Rozzi all had really high tackle numbers.
And Butters, that he had that huge tackle in the first quarter, which kind of showed, hey, I'm here to play. I'm not just, you know, injured. So that was good on him.
Yeah.
The interesting one for Port was, like, and he had a couple, you know, sporadically he would have big games throughout the season. But this year he really showed it with a clutch goal as well. Jace Burgoyne, man. He's not just there for the name, man.
Yeah.
So shout out to him.
Especially in such a physical game. Like, you wouldn't think that that's the game he would shine in because he's more of an outside player, but he was excellent.
And he looks sort of skinny and sort of, you know, he looks like he's got a bit of filling out to do, but, you know, that's...
Without a doubt.
Yeah, but, mate, there we go. Shout out to Burgoyne.
Yeah, no, he had a good game. I mentioned Rioli before. I thought he was a real match winner. I thought he was really, really impressive. Mm. I also thought Radigalia actually had a pretty good game.
He did.
But I think that he played an important role. No superstar, but he, I feel like his contest up forward was good. He went back late in the game. I think it took a game-saving mark as well. So he's playing a good role for them, that kind of swing man. Mm. But what's interesting about Port is that they've gotten through now. They're in a prelim. And then you start to think, shit, has Dan Houston cost these guys a flag? Like, he is a dual All-Australian, back-to-back All-Australian, one of their best players. You'd want him out there against Sydney, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Like, they've done this without Houston, without Kane Farrell. Mm. Ryan Burden is not as good as those two, but he's not there anyway. So a lot of their drive, and that was a slingshotty game, right? Mm. And they didn't have those type of players. That would have made a big difference.
Mm.
So Port smashed Sydney by over 100 points whenever they played them. That's not going to happen again now, right? But if you had those type of players, you'd say, oh, they're in for a shout.
Mm.
They still are, but man, like, they're in a prelim. You want your best players out there.
Yeah, true. Especially against Sydney with all those superstars, man.
Like, he would be tearing. Actually, he doesn't have much hair, but he'd be tearing his metaphorical hair out.
Mm. Not that I'm holding a grudge or anything, but if I have to watch Horn Francis in a grand final this early in his career, I might be sick. Like, it can't happen. Yeah. And I don't even like Sydney particularly, but...
I was going to say, here's the thing with Horn Francis. He might not even get there.
Yeah, he did his hammy, didn't he?
Yeah, so I don't know how...
Was it a hammy or a cramp?
Well, look, he had done his... They were rubbing his, like, right quad in the, like, towards the end, like, in three-quarter time. Comes on, and then he's holding his left hamstring.
Mm.
So was he compensating in his movements, and that's why the, you know, the cramp and happened there? Or was it Australian? Who knows?
He has had all year times where he's come off late, and they've rested him for a week or two with a hammy. So I think it could have just been precautionary, but there's two more very intense games to come.
Yeah. Surgery as well he's had during the off-season.
Yeah, there you go.
Surgery on his hamstring.
I think it's something they're managing, but man, when you get this deep into finals, long season, intense games, maybe he won't make it. Not that I would want him to miss it if they did make the grand final. That's a bit too far, but it would also be quite sickening to see him with a chance to win a flag.
Yeah. He's the type of player that... He's a Norm Smith type of player.
Hence, I don't want to see him in the grand final right now. Not right now.
Because he might win it for
Norm Smith from Port Adelaide Football Club, Jason Horn Francis. Can you imagine?
No grudge, but...
No grudge, but
personal preference.
I was going to say, a couple more players I want to shout out, right?
Yeah,
Logan Evans came out of nowhere.
Mm.
Mid-season draft.
Yep.
Gun. He's had to fill in the shoes, you know, of Houston. He had 450-plus meters gained. Good performance from him as well. And the boy I was talking about earlier, DBJ.
Yeah.
Two clutch goals. And talk about someone who is unselfish enough to realize, okay, the halfbacks in, you know, Houston and Farrell are better than me and they're better ball users than me. I'm going to make myself useful in the forward line. And look, if he's a bit more consistent and pitching in with a few more goals, you could argue that he should be All-Australian as well, the way he goes about it. You know, if the All-Australian selectors actually picked forwards in the forward line.
It's a tough role, the half forward line. It's very unselfish.
Mm.
So yeah, I think he plays a great role.
Mm. Yeah, and clutch goals in the end for this game. But yeah, look, I think we've probably like diverted from the, you know, the post game festivities. Yeah,
it rightfully gets a mention at the end because it happened at the end.
Yeah.
The festivities.
Yeah. That was interesting, man. That was very interesting.
Yeah.
I think, like, first of all, like, I think it's wrong on both sides, I think, to be honest with you. But, like, Ken, how old are you, bro?
Yeah.
As a coach, you can't be saying that as a coach, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I was originally, like, watching live, like, look at this guy, what a prick, this old guy, get out of here. And then... Mm. You know, you see people's comments on social media like, you deserve that. You're like, you know what, maybe you did a little bit. Mm. But I think I've just landed after sleeping on it. Like, we're talking about two different things that happen.
Yeah.
One of them was online. And we know things that gets thrown online by a young kid. Like, I'm not excusing him, but it was a bit cheeky. The other is just feeling the need to clap back when you've just won.
Yeah.
Like, they're about to cheer off Bruce. You're a coach. Like, I feel like... If Ollie Wines did it or like Butters did it, that would have been okay.
Big difference.
But when it's kind of like last week when McCartney bumped Papley Papley bumped McCartney. It's like the question there is, sure, not much in it. We're probably overreacting, but coaches and players should never mingle like that.
Mm. I agree.
And I think that's the main thing here. And I just think it's pretty classless from Ken. Like, pseudo apologized afterwards upon quick reflection. Like, I don't know. I think it's poor form from him.
Yeah. Look, I can understand that Ken Hinckley is like one of those coaches that reads all the newspapers and all the YouTube. Like, he's an emotional coach.
Mm. He watches Joyce.
Yeah, he watches Joyce. He listens to Caro's Arrow and goes, oh, Carolyn Wilson, you're taking the piss. That's what he does, right? So he gets involved in all that stuff, and you can tell because he's crying out, you know, emotionally. Then he's going up on Ginnivan. So he's that type of coach. But I don't think that's what the coach should be there for.
Yeah.
And I think generally everyone's like, ugh, that's not the right thing. But I do like the fact that Ginnivan gets hit back a little bit because you've got to, if you're going to give it, you've got to take it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did think that the Hawks, I get them being a little bit angry or defensive against Ken Hinckley, but the kind of idea that they've been all around shooting, talking shit, and then like the one time it happens, they're like, oh, I'm dying.
Yeah,
I'm melting.
I think I'm mostly on your side there. I do think if it was a player clapping back at him and they got angry and defensive, like exactly what you said is true. But because it's the coach, I don't know. For me, it's like coaches should clap back at coaches or like in the presser, throw in the cheeky comment, like, I guess they're not going anywhere next week. Like if you said it then, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But because he said it on the field with it's like a cocky gesture, it's like, what are you doing, man? Yeah. Just shut up.
I know. And look, I think also in regards to Sicily's involvement in it, good on him for backing up his teammate. But at the same time, bro, like you're about to chair off, you know, one of the greats of the game. Settle down a little bit as well. Yeah. You know what I mean? He could have been mature as well, but they both wanted to have the last word.
Yeah.
They both just kept going. They wanted the last word on the way out.
The other thing that is like they've just lost a semi-final. Both emotions would be extremely...
Ah, true.
Like any... Like you're a Hawks fan or a Hawks player that's just lost that game. The pain. Mm. Right? So you've got to send that pain somewhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair.
No, that's fair. Mm. Did you see the thing though? Apparently Ken was saying like he doesn't know what goes on social media. Like acts like he doesn't know. But then was it Butters or Wines or one of the main players that got interviewed said like basically it was written on the board all week.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I just said like Hinckley.
And he's done this his whole career, right? Yeah, like he's the specialist at like getting the team to perform when all the writing's there on the wall. Like they need to do it. Yeah. His job's on the line. Like
And do it for me, guys. Do it for
his
me.
His job's on the line every 2 weeks.
Like nothing's wrong with external motivation. Like the best athletes and high performers use whatever they can grab, you know, but it is kind of like a port thing now where like they only play their best when they're about to get bagged out or like embarrassed or whatever. So anyway, I hope they get whacked next week.
Yeah. Same.
Not because of this, but it's not helping. Anyway.
It's going to be tough for them next week.
I think they'll lose, right? But I'd like to see another close game, man. Oh, as a general spectator, you don't want to see some smashing, man.
No.
You want to see last minute heartbreak.
Well, let's talk about the next game then because it looked like it was going to be a smashing.
Yeah.
And then the Lions just come out of nowhere. Man, I watched this game in its entirety. I still don't know what happened. What a weird game.
It was, man. It was.
You know what it is, man? Last week, right, Carlton was behind and like, whoa, they can come back from 46 points. Mm. Turns out it was, for next week, it was a prophecy. It was a prophecy, not for Carlton, but for Brisbane. Ugh. I don't know what it is. Like, Brisbane... It's kind of what Brisbane's done all season, really.
Mm.
But they start strong and then finish slow. Now it's the other way around. The Giants dominated them for most of the game, but they're just one of the... Both of these teams are just those teams that can pile on goals. Mm. But I don't know, man.
I don't want to jump to the end of the game, right? But why is Danaher one out with his defender twice in a row at the end? What are the Giants doing? You've thrown away last week. This week, you can see the momentum shifted. Like, you're allowed to play a bit more defensive and flood some numbers back. Mm. He should never be one out at the best of times.
That's fair. That's true.
Crazy.
You know, under their coach, right, GWS hasn't lost leading at three-quarter time, right? Hadn't, right? Until last week. That was the first time. And then this is their second time.
It's happened again.
Back-to-back finals is the first time they've led a three-quarter time and lost. Can you believe that shit?
There was a little parallel to like last week as well that they started well and didn't capitalize.
Yeah.
The same thing happened again and it's bitten me in the ass again.
Yep.
Like you couldn't feel any more sick as a supporter than what they've 100%. Just experienced.
But 46 points, man. That's a massive margin.
Yeah.
And it wasn't 46 points in the first quarter.
Yeah. It reminds me of that game with North and Collingwood. Like you say 46 points, but by the time it got to three-quarter time, it was down to 25. That's the problem, that they didn't just hold it where they were. They let it get somewhat achievable at three-quarter time.
But what I liked about that is like Brisbane came back, but I think GWS kicked the last two goals of the third.
They did.
And the first goal of the fourth.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, boys, the Lions have had their run. We've managed to stop them. We're back to 30 points, one quarter. And then they kicked the last five goals.
Ridiculous.
Or six goals, something like that. Unbelievable. Ridiculous. Look, the Lions can play football as well. And when you've got players like Zach Bailey, McCluggage, Ashcroft, Cameron firing in the last quarter, like, you can make things happen. Mm. And then you've got Danaher, who's equally the worst and best player in the comp whenever. Like, like, he'll never be a champion because he's just too inconsistent. But boy, this guy can play football when he wants to. And he had an amazing game. One on one on Taylor.
Yeah.
That goal from the boundary, that wasn't deliberate. Come on. There's no way that was deliberate.
What, you reckon?
Had to be.
He was pushed into it. That wasn't deliberate.
Oh, you're talking about the actual free kick. I thought you meant the shot on goal. Sorry. He meant that. Sorry.
Taylor's trip, it's hit his arm, pushed down. They've called it deliberate. That's a terrible call.
Here's the thing with it, though. It's not that he didn't look like he was trying to gather the footy.
Yeah.
That's the issue with it. The fact that he swung his hand away.
But did he swing or was he pushed into it? Like, this is a second. This is. I reckon this should be better.
It's like this, bro. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, sorry.
I don't know, man. I would never be paying that as an umpire.
Well, I think the bigger problem here is like the mischances, like you said, man. Yeah. That Brent Daniels one.
That's unforgivable because that's one of those ones where it's like you're watching it. It happened. You're like, what? What? But everyone in the team, the GWS team, just has to move on immediately. Mm. So you move on, but then – and you're present in the game, but like that was the biggest moment of that quarter. Yeah. And that lost them the game. That's – unforgivable.
It wasn't like Brisbane was ruthless the entire game. There was times in that game where they were down and they should have been down more, and then like Hipwood misses a shot from like 20 metres out.
Yeah.
So you're thinking to yourself, oh, it's not Brisbane's, you know, right to just get in the game with accuracy or anything. It was just a weird game. And we said it last week, the quick goals in succession keeps happening and teams don't yet know how to figure out how to stop it quickly because of the 6-6-6 rule.
Yeah.
No one, I'm yet to see a team like immune to that. It can happen to anybody.
Yeah.
Mm.
Goal, 30-point leads mean nothing in today's football. Just nothing.
Yeah. No, you're right.
But GWS would be shat. I mean, Hogan, amazing performance again. Mm. So many like good players on both sides.
But I don't think I've ever seen a more disappointing straight sets exit. Like, this team could have easily been a grand final contender.
100%. Yeah. I mean, they could have won. Even last year, they lost by 1 point to Pies. Like, they've gotten so close. But it's so far still. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess thankfully they don't have that many supporters, so like less disappointment all
around.
That's
the only good
thing.
It's
like a full team to get disappointed.
Net disappointment.
Not that you know, North being a smaller of the Victorian teams for sure, the smallest currently, but you do want to see the big teams fight it out. Like now you're looking at the grand final possibilities, Geelong or Brisbane, Sydney or Port. Like, you know it's going to be a pretty intense game with the crowd as well.
That's fair. But
No.
I think... Yeah, no, look, it just sucks for GWS, man, because they're still just a talented side.
Like Hogan, he couldn't have done much more. No. He was an absolute monster out there. 5-1, could have had more. He was unselfish.
What a forward. I mean, what about like Caniglio getting injured in the foot? Like
that
it has an impact.
Yeah.
Can't help.
Like, he doesn't play quite like as much in the midfield, and he's not as impactful as he's been the last year. He's not, But that's you know, not on his own thing. It's because they've just got other options, but...
Yeah. Lions are a good team, right? And they've been in the window for a long time. They've got Will Ashcroft, who turned the game on its ass in the second half. I think 17 possessions in the second quarter, in the second half. His brother's coming to him as well.
Yeah.
It's not like they're lacking. It's not like their window is necessarily ending.
No. Mm.
Well, look at the thing I was going to say with Ashcroft, right? His inside work and ability to make stuff happen, right? He's getting like these inside, like, these what's called inside footy, and then it's turning into scoring involvements, into goal assists, like 2 goal assists and 10 scoring involvements.
Oh,
right,
he's all class.
For an inside mid is good numbers, and he's what, second year player. Yeah,
and he's come back from an ACL. The other guy I absolutely love, and I talk about a lot, is McCluggage. Like he's just one of those players that may not win an All Australian, right? But it doesn't mean he's not an absolute gun, and I think he's unheralded. Like, the impact he had in that last quarter was quite special as well. And then someone on the opposite end, Rayner, you know how they talk about players that should have final impact? Where's this guy in the finals? I mean, what do you have? 8 super coach points.
What? 8?
8. He had 8 possessions, but 8 super coach points.
Yeah, I guess the ratio 8, as well, 28 dream team for 8 super coach.
8 ranking points in a full game.
Yeah.
When you're a number one draft pick and you're relying on this type of guy as a big game player type of guy.
Yeah.
Come on, man, that's not good enough. No, when are you going to grow up? Like he needs to grow up.
Yeah. Well, he was all Australian squad, mate. Weirdly enough.
Yeah.
I didn't really expect that. But when you're talking about actually one thing on McCluggage, that play where he sent everyone, you know, he wasn't even selling candy. He was selling candy with his eyes pretty much in that run. It was crazy. Yeah, like, because they know how much of a, like, you know, how damaging with his kick. They'll just, he had everyone's head on a swivel, you know. Yeah, that was mad. Yeah. I love that play.
I like him as a final type of player as well, because naturally possessions are lower in finals. So you get your 20, he had 24, right? Damaging 24. Mm. Like you're not seeing Neil pop 40 possessions in a final. It just doesn't happen. I don't think I've seen any finals. Maybe, like, I think Tom Green had over 30.
Mm.
He had 33, but
he had numbers, man.
He's the only one in the game above 30.
No, there's and then it was 27, Ashcroft, 27, Berry. Yeah. Berry had a good game as well,
He was big in the last quarter as well.
Just the big body on the wing, you know what I mean? Like, it just helps, just that assist to the, you know, to the inside guys. But yeah, like, look, I guess Brisbane, they earned every bit of that win. Mm. Like that, like, we're a bit unsure of them, but I think they've showed themselves as a threat now.
Well, now they're one game away from a grand final again, and they're playing Geelong, who of the top four teams are the one. I know George isn't thinking that they can go all the way.
Mm.
It's two teams that have been there and done that over the years. It's going to be an interesting clash.
I actually think Geelong have a better chance against Brisbane than they do against the Giants.
Interesting.
Son just tells me, what's it based on, George? I don't know, instinct or something. I don't know.
Mm.
But I just feel like with the inconsistency of the Lions, and I saw something that Champion Data was saying, that since Dangerfield's come back from injury and back in the midfield, Geelong, like, one of the best contested midfield team in the comp. So even though they don't have big names in there, they're getting the job done. So if they can even that up with the Lions, and Geelong can have a really consistent effort, the Lions, we've seen, can go down, can come up, can fluctuate. I don't know, man. Like, I actually give Geelong a chance.
Mm. That's fair enough. That's fair enough.
Should we do our tips now?
We'll talk about the games a bit. So Sydney versus Port, and let's be fair, I think we're all going to just all Swans, I can imagine.
Yep.
And there's clear reasons why.
Yeah. My only thing is, I can't completely just assume that what happened a couple months ago with that absolute demolition job that Port gave Sydney. I can't. Something in my mind saying, like, something had to have caused that, other than just one team didn't show up. Like, just don't even analyze it. I think there must be something in that about the way Port play, the way Sydney play. Now, surely, though, Sydney has looked into that and won't allow it to happen again.
I don't think it'll happen.
Not at that level. Even if they were to lose, surely not at that level. But
not in a prelim, man. And they've had the break, and they're ready to. And they're away from a final.
I'm not saying to be a one-sided game, but I'm more thinking, is something about what Port do conducive to them playing well against Sydney?
Potentially. But I reckon, you know, this Butters is injured, Horn Francis is injured. Even if they make the cut, they've got some of their best halfbacks out. Sydney's primed. I think they've got a pretty much full list. I think it's very hard to bet against the Swans.
Yeah.
They've been the best team all year. I think they're going to make the grand final and give themselves the best chance.
Mm. No, I think that's fair.
I'll tip Sydney as well for sure. But
look,
how crazy would it be if Port won that? Oh my God.
Right now, they're $3.46 Port to Sydney, $1.30.
That's pretty fair.
Yeah. I think, it is. But
I do hope it's a enjoyable game to watch, though. Like, that goes without saying. I hope all these games are close and cracking games, but I think Sydney will have too much.
No, that's fair. And the next game, Geelong versus Brisbane. Look, I think the way Geelong went about their business against Port, I can't go against them, to be honest with you. Like, but that, I think it's the better game. It should be the better
game. I think it's a better game.
Just trying to think, man. Like, the midfield battle will be interesting.
Yeah.
Like, on paper, it's Brisbane all day, right? But this Geelong midfield's not just a ball-winning, like, attacking midfield. They're very interesting of a matchup defensively on the Brisbane mids. You've got Holmes. You've got Atkins. These more defensive-minded guys. Danger, Tom Stewart, explosive, will come back guy. As well. Stewart will come back, who's an on-baller now, apparently. Like, I don't know. Something tells me Geelong will just have a bit too much. But equally, I mean, with the attacking firepower Brisbane has, and they can turn it on and kick goals in a hurry. Like, I don't think any team can stop that when they really get going.
Mm.
So
it might be the opportunity to throw Tom Stewart back if the firepower goes a bit too haywire as well. Mm. You know what I mean? So it's, I think, they're pretty well equipped, Geelong. I think they're injury-wise, they're pretty clear. as well, I think, which is helpful.
Yeah. Do you think they'll pick Hawkins over Neil? It's interesting.
Yeah.
He played a game in the VFL. It's not like he hasn't played all these months. And he's had a week off to condition.
I don't think Hawkins has looked very good this year.
But is Neil that much better than him, the youngster?
Maybe he is. Maybe he runs more. Spreads.
That's the thing. That's the thing. Like, it's not all about, you know, the strength and, you know, the ability to take a mark. It's, you know, you got to play the system as well.
I'm going to go Brisbane because I'm just going to back in the fact that, like, I haven't rated Geelong. I can see Geelong win this, man. I really can.
I did say Geelong weeks ago when it was me and George. So I'll stick with Geelong as a smoky for the granny.
That would just be insane.
I think Stengel and Myers, like these really skillful small forwards, are going to have a bit of a say in this one.
Yeah, but I mean, Lions have an equal amount of those type of players, though.
They do. Yep, they do. Matt, so you're the deciding vote here?
I said earlier that I'm going with Geelong.
You're Geelong, so, okay. Yeah. Cool. It turns out I was the deciding vote. Fair enough.
But yeah.
Interesting.
No. Wow, so we're saying Geelong-Sydney.
Yeah. That's yuck.
That's a rematch a couple of years ago.
See, this is what I hate. I think I ranted about this last week. It's all the same teams because they're so damn consistent. They don't bottom out. Like, good on them for being good organisations, but my eyes want a different aesthetic in this grand final.
Yeah, that's their colour palette. I'm not for that colour palette.
Like, even if it's Brisbane Port, like, I've seen that before.
Yeah, you know true. What I mean?
I've seen
true,
this movie before.
It's 2004,
It's ages ago, but I've seen it.
Yeah, true. That might be one of the first grand finals I actually remember watching. Because I was like seven at the time or something.
I remember Collingwood, Brisbane, those two that they played.
Yeah, fair enough. I just remember Brisbane being the best. I'm like, as a little kid, I'm like, these guys are the best and no one can touch them. And then I'm watching the final and I'm watching Port win. I'm like, what's going on?
The best.
And now Port's the best. Like, my whole, like, world shifted when I realized that Brisbane were no longer, like, just the beasts. They were the goats. Like, you know.
I think my earliest, other than, like, just being told that North won in 99, I was too young to even watch it or remember. Yeah. But I remember once in the year 2000, my family and I, and we rarely had fast food, but we're pulling into a KFC for, I can't remember, maybe some chips or something. And I remember seeing through the window balloons, black and red, and red and blue. Obviously, it must have been grand final time.
Yeah.
So that was my first like cognitive thought, like, hey, something big's happening in Melbourne right now.
Wow.
That was the year 2000.
You always remember your fast food chips when you're young because they're so rare, man.
And just the balloons. I'm like, KFC doesn't have balloons. Like, what's going on here? Like, turns out it was the grand final. All right. Well, that's about it.
Yeah. Look, I think, do you want to talk a little bit about, you know, there's some trade rumors and stuff like
sure,
that?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, or actually, I guess we can probably leave it for.
You mentioned, just quickly, you mentioned the Hawks. You mentioned the Hawks probably going to get Barras and Battle. Huge.
I think the one that I wanted to get off my chest quickly was North Melbourne being heavily, heavily linked with Luke Parker and Jack Darling, amongst other experienced players. I don't really like the idea that people are saying, oh, these old guys are, you know, we shouldn't be, you know, going for those guys. Look, first of all, like, Jack Darling is a good runner and a good contested mark. That's exactly what we need in the forward line because we don't really have, you know, I know he's older, but like, if he can bring just 70% of what he was like 2 years ago, that's enough, right? That's better than all our other key forwards.
100%.
Like apart from Larky, obviously. That's better than Toby Pink. That's better than what's the
Brinteagle.
All those dudes.
That's what I was gonna say, man. Like, there's no way any North fan can look at that and say no.
It's not it's gonna cost you anything, man.
It's not gonna cost anything significant and
Premiership player as well. Yeah. I think you can't underestimate that experience that this dude has been in a winning side and all of a sudden you're gonna have him chatting with Larky being like, hey mate, you're gonna become a premiership player. You know what I mean? You're gonna have that little, you know, those nuggets of wisdom, you know, being parted onto these young guys.
Yeah.
And then you go over to Luke Parker, right? And the player, like, there's two players that really should be studying this guy, like, you know, properly, right? It's Wardlaw for Luke Parker's tough inside game, how to manage games. Because Luke Parker throughout his career generally has been pretty durable, right? Wardlaw needs to work on that. And also getting Luke Parker right now helps with that. So now, you know, Wardlaw isn't, you know, we don't need to rely on him in the inside quite as much. There's that. And then there's also another guy, Zane Dersma, who, like Luke Parker, is a guy who can move forward, right? And right now, Zane Dersma is a proper forward, but a guy who can play forward of the ball and take an overhead mark. Because Luke Parker, you swing him forward and all of a sudden he's clunking marks. That's what Dersma does as well. Yeah. So look, there's like, you know, there's clear mentorship that can be done. And Luke Parker, I think it was 2021, he was the best and fairest. He's going to be, what, 32, 33 next year? He's not even that old, man. Mm. Like, the only reason why he's not playing this year is because Heaney, all of a sudden, is the GOAT, right? Who's the other? There's more. Warner is a gun. They wanted to give Taylor Adams a run at it, right? And Taylor Adams is kind of, you know, he's fallen away a bit. Mm-hmm. You know, now Luke Parker's playing again, but he doesn't want to take the risk and he's going to come to North. You know what I mean? He doesn't want to take the risk of, you know, next year being, you know, on the outer again.
Yeah. Oh, look, there's no two ways about it. When you're a team like North, you're losing the experience you did have. And these guys weren't even major contributors, but Greenwood, Shields. I think Clarko said in the Sid Barker interview last night that he cited those two needing replacements. So two for two seems like the formula there.
Yeah.
Maybe one more. But yeah, when you're getting players in with premiership experience that aren't fully cooked yet, and people say Darling is, but like, how much are you going to judge a forward who's been in a bad team as well? Like, we all know forwards need supply, and hopefully we can give him better supply. Not that we've been great at that, but
another thing for him, right? He's not the main forward, like, at all. Like, let's be fair. Like, when, and even he was the second fiddle to Josh Kennedy for a while back when they were getting a lot of delivery and service. Now he was playing second fiddle to Waterman and to Oscar Allen. He's a supporting act for them.
Yeah.
Now he can come in, be a supporting act for Larky. You know, hopefully, you know, we can, you know, give a bit more service and, you know, he can, you know, put the goals on the board. But it's not the most important thing, man. And it's only 2 years and it's not our money. Like, we don't care that I don't care if we overpay him, you know, as long as in 2 years' time when they leave, you know, the money's there to be spent on, you know, re-signing our good players. And maybe that's when a free agent, like a big free agent, is available. We can attack that.
Yeah, no, but they'd be too high quality players to bring in when you're such a bad team. So anyway. Yeah.
Anyway, no, I had to get that off my chest because I was I was sick of seeing comments of people saying like, you know, nah, don't get these old guys. It's not FIFA manager mode where you just get 19-year-olds with 99 or 90 plus potential. It doesn't work that way. It does not work that way.
Trust us. It's been long enough.
Exactly. You know, this is, you know, this is real sports, you know what I mean? And they need, you know, like the locker room guys, you know, that's how they refer to them in the basketball. It's important. So, yeah. Anyway, shout out to North. I like the work that they're doing. Hopefully, we can nail the draft as well and we can, you know, rise up the leaderboard, you know, rise up the ladder a bit quicker than we, you know, than it has been going the last few years. But, yeah, anyway, there's my little spiel about North.
Fair enough, man. In other news, it looks like Richmond's just completely losing their entire team.
Yeah.
To Bolton, Graham.
Rioli.
There's a couple others.
Baker.
Baker as well. So, they're going to have a big say in the draft. Couple interesting delistings from Gold Coast. I think Rosas gone. Day, who's been there a long time. Like, I just thought they might keep him around. Just
too injury prone, man. He never plays.
And I think eventually you just you need to just have space for, you know, young guys to come in. It makes sense.
Carlton granted George's wishes by sacking every player that he named last week that he wanted sacked.
Legit. Look, Jack Martin, I think he's going to go to Fremantle. Well, I mean, he's delisted. Like, they delisted him.
Yeah.
Now, like... I've talked a lot about Jack Martin. Everyone knows here that Jack Martin is a good player, but he's played like average of 12 games per year for Carlton. And we brought him on. We walked him to the free agency or whatever it was. He delisted himself, whatever it was, years ago, paid him a shit ton of money, front-ended it so other people couldn't take him, for him to give us like 10 to 12 games a season.
Yeah. Anyway. But why did you delist him when you could have got a third or fourth round pick for him at least?
I don't know. I don't know how it works. He's uncontracted. Does that mean that... I don't know how it works.
I thought he was under a contract.
No, he's uncontracted.
Uncontracted.
Oh. Well, look, then they're just making it easy for him to just move on into free agency, I reckon. Like, rather than re-signing, like, that's the only option.
How do you get the Ben Mackay compensation for him?
It depends what kind of a free agent he was. So Ben Mackay was...
restricted?
Unrestricted, I think.
Yeah.
No. Restricted.
Yeah.
So he was offered a big contract. North didn't match it.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
Is he that kind?
Not at all.
So he'd be unrestricted.
He's 30, man. Like,
I might have read wrong news.
Look, I think simple as this, Jack Martin is a good player if he can play. He doesn't play. He hasn't played throughout his whole career. Whoever takes him, if they take him, will be like, let's just take him. It's not going to cost us anything. If he plays, he'll add. If he doesn't. But Carlton as a team can't rely on this player. They can't rely on Marchbank. Marchman is a decent player if he plays conditionally well, but injured. David Cunningham, drafted in the 20s, doesn't play football. See ya. Go.
I think the other thing with these dudes, or maybe more so Martin, is that Fremantle and all these other clubs might be willing to put that bit of extra money onto his contract. Whereas Carlton are like, look, bro, we gave you this money at the start. Yep. Now all of a sudden we've got to pay all these other champions, right? Mm. We can't be giving you 500K, yeah. 600K. You know, I reckon you guys would have liked to have rookied him or just rookied him, you know.
I think they've gone, there's nothing we That's can do fair. With this guy.
Yeah.
It's a shame though, because like from what I can tell, he's a good clubman, talented player.
100%.
It just,
you're trying to achieve big things though. You need to be a bit ruthless. So
he just has to go, because at the end of the day, he's holding a list spot and doesn't play. So
yep. One thing I want to mention with Jack Martin, right? So I was doing my little bit of research into the GWS mini drafts of yesteryear, right? And he was. Do you guys know about the GWS mini draft?
Wasn't it like a pre-draft draft?
Yeah,
just for them, sort of thing.
So basically, they were given access to players under 17. Not under 17. 17-year-olds. So players who couldn't be drafted yet.
The underage boys.
But they couldn't draft these players, right? They couldn't draft them themselves. However, they could trade, they could receive, you know, like picks and trades from other clubs to get these guys, right? Mm. So Jack Martin was one, I think he was pick one in that draft years ago, right? So like Gold Coast would have given, you know, they might have given a top five pick or something, right, for him, right? And they could get this underage guy. And then number two was Jesse Hogan. Look how like polarizing careers, but obviously one has done much better than the other.
And the funny thing is there's plenty of years before where you think Jack Martin's the way better player.
Yeah,
because Hogan's hasn't had that good of a career, really. Mm. He's just this year's been incredible.
Well, his first year. And last year. His first year and his this year is probably the best.
This year he's clearly the most dominant forward. Yeah. Like there's no competition, right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
How old is Hogan? Hogan would be nearly 30 years old.
No, you would be 30.
I'm a nerd for the GWS mini draft.
Some of the other news was Bailey Smith and Jack McRae.
Yeah,
true. Smith, no surprise. McRae, not really either.
McRae's not a surprise, but where's he going? Are you guys going to take him?
That's the interesting thing is usually when a player like that wants out, you'd think by now he would nominate a club. He hasn't nominated anyone. Mm. So what does that say? He's just open-minded?
Yeah, I think he's just putting the feelers out.
He just wants to play.
Best offer, yeah. Mm.
I think it's a bit of both. He wants to play. You want to maximize your money as well because he's still an All-Australian quality midfielder. Like, do we doubt that?
We doubt it. Not now. He's not All-Australian now.
You reckon?
No, no way.
You reckon? All right, fair enough. Look, well, I think he's All-Australian squad quality at the very least. He's a gun, man. Maybe he's getting on in years, but he's still got some good years ahead of him.
Interesting.
Where he goes, I've heard St Kilda is an option. Collingwood would be a good option for him, I think.
His brother's there, isn't he?
Yeah, true. But then they're probably going to delist his brother anyway.
And then what do they get average. For him? That's another question. Obviously, he doesn't demand a first-round pick anymore.
No.
But is it a second? Is it a third?
Look, like, I think he's a third.
Yeah, look, I think... crazy. Like, look, he might be a second or third, but I think whatever it is, you give him the respect that he deserves and just trade him for cheap, let him go where he wants to go. Mm. He's had to persist through, you know, Bevo's, you know, benching sub in a final for Jack McRae is ridiculous, man. I
like the way he's just said, you know what, I'll field offers, you tell me your situation and where I fit, and he just wants to play, like George said. So
I don't know if you're forgetting Jack McRae was 700k in Supercoach at one point.
I'm not forgetting, but he's not that player, man. I don't think he's that player anymore, man. He's not young.
Nah, fair enough. Look.
What Jack McRae, in my opinion, does now, like he goes to a team like maybe like Saints that needs contestant bodies, and he'll give you that first use. You replace Paddy Dow and you put Jack McRae in there and hey, you've got a contested player. He ain't spreading around the ground, in my opinion. I could be wrong because we haven't really seen it over the last 2 years, right? Yeah.
Look, I've seen some good footy out of him, even as a high half forward. You know, he was connecting as well, and you know he's a good kick too. Great ball user. There's a lot to like about McRae.
Plenty. He's definitely going to go to a list, right? Mm. But yeah, I don't know if he's the same caliber that he was. I don't think he is.
Well, look, he mustn't be. Bevo can't be that stubborn to not utilize a player of that skill. So he must have lost the touch in power, speed, etc.
Yeah, the thing is, you're also comparing him to Bont, Libba, Richards, Treloar.
Yeah.
They're pretty good players, man.
It's interesting. Yeah. No,
Look, like, and then I guess Bailey Smith. Where's he going? Is he going Geelong?
I think Geelong.
Is he who are the three? Geelong, Collingwood, and Hawks.
Yeah. It kind of
all of those fit. Like all of those are perfect.
The funny thing is, like, at this time of year as well, it's the finals teams get omitted from these discussions.
Mm.
It's a bit convenient that Geelong's still in the finals and they're in the race.
Mm. Yeah,
I feel like it's there. Mm. It's a very Geelong kind of move to get someone so good for so cheap.
Yeah. But is he going to be cheap?
Probably. Yeah. Well, Geelong's only got a late first round pick right now. So that's the best they got.
Are they going to walk him? You know what I mean? They're going to walk him to the preseason draft, like, you know, the rookie draft or whatever.
That never happens.
Yeah. They'll probably get a deal done. Late pick in the teens and then a future first, then see you later.
Yeah.
You know?
But no, it's going to be interesting, man. I think there's more players to randomly nominate. Like, we'll get a few crazy ones come up. I know that
Neil Bullen's
going to Adelaide.
Yeah. But that's like a lock, right?
That's a guaranteed lock.
Pick 25, I think, is whatever they've got. Yeah.
It's a pretty decent pickup for Adelaide because he's a hardworking dude.
You know what you're going to get from him. He's not a risk, I don't think.
Yeah, no. And he's versatile. Half forward, bit of midfield. I like it.
Dan Houston, what's he doing? Is he coming to the Blues? I don't really want him, to be honest.
It's a huge contract. Apparently North, did you see that rumor that we've offered a future first? No. Yeah. What are you doing? That's going to be a top five pick next year.
Yeah, no, probably. Yeah,
are you kidding me?
Look, would you not take Houston?
For a future first round pick and that's it? No.
You're trading a dual All-Australian that's still got good football left for a first round pick.
We might come bottom three again next year.
But what I'm saying is you guys have a lot of super young talent players. You wouldn't get a mature ball user type of player?
Mm. Look.
What if it was a pick swap?
Yeah, if it was like...
You get Port's pick back.
Yeah, yeah, then yes.
Yeah. Look, They want more. Here's the thing, right? What if the next year's draft isn't as good as this one? And it's just like, it's a top two draft and that's it. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to say because this draft developed.
But no, when you're a team like North Melbourne that hasn't yet proved you can progress up the ladder, you cannot be trading your future before you're like, yep, we know we're going to be...
But how do you get better when you're just fielding kids after kids and just slaughtering?
I don't think your future first is one you risk. That's my thoughts.
That's fair.
Because you look at the quality of players we have picked up with those first round picks, your McCurches, your Sheezles, that's more important than a Houston right now. Because that's going to be like the long-term success. Not that Houston's a short-term, like he's a medium and long-term solution as well. But
it would be fun.
You cannot dangle your future first.
It would be fun. How fun is it?
It'd be fun.
Houston, because now all of a sudden you can, Sheezles full-time mid, you can always have McCurches as a mid forward and you have Houston just pinging long balls.
Just pinging him, bro.
Yeah, he'll be like our Trent Alexander-Arnold, just pinging long balls today.
I'm saying this. If we get in Houston, Parker, Darling, and all of a sudden we're playing finals next year, yeah, cool.
But if we're bottom three again, that you'd feel so shit.
No, then you're like, North deserves every bit of what they get.
But this is the thing. This is why I don't want Carlton to get Houston. Imagine if Carlton trades like their first round pick this year for Houston, I will be
leaving. Not even you want to do it with pick 13. Imagine a top three pick.
I'm saying is I've got a mature list. You guys need mature, good players to protect.
Yeah, I get that. You know what I mean? There's other means.
That's what I'm saying with Houston as well. I don't think Carlton needs him.
Yeah.
We need draft picks now.
We need Houston, but we don't need to be mortgaging our future when we're not certain of the future.
Yeah, that's the difference.
That's fair enough. Yeah, nah, look. It would just be such a sexy little trade. You know what I mean? We get.
I would North loves a sexy trade. We love it.
He'd suit the fast flowing game style as well.
Mm. Yeah, true.
Look, you both know me. I'll G it up if it happens.
Oh, but yeah, of course.
I'm just saying it from now.
So
I don't endorse trading first round picks.
Look, this is very like representative of who we are on the pod. Dean's the mature old man, and we're like the the bratty little kids.
Just do it, man. Yeah, just do it. Trade imagine the super first. Coach captain.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What about you guys were saying you're happy with Matt Owies? Just take him, please. Please. Please take Matt Owies.
Yeah, I love Matt Owies.
Please, Zach Fisher, that Matt Owies, man, please. Please let's pretend like he's a good player when you guys get him and then after round three you'd be like, it didn't work. Please.
Look, I tried so hard to like Zach Fisher.
No, please.
I tried so hard.
Dino
knows. He knows. I'm just like, he's good, man. He's good.
I had this in my head from the start. I'm like,
he's the kind of player where more touches doesn't mean better output. It just means more chance of something bad happening.
Yeah, he's a Nick Martin type.
Yeah.
Nick Martin's way better than him.
Fair enough. I'm still holding out a little bit of hope for Zach Fisher. Not gonna lie, but it's not like for him to be a superstar. It's more so for him to be a contributing player, rather than But anyway,
fair enough.
I digress.
I think that's about it for major. Did you see the Dusty thing? It's so predictable. Please don't happen. Like, come on, Goldhurst doesn't even need him. He's washed.
No, no. Like the thing I read someone say, oh, he's willing to take a small contract, like 300K a year to play. Like, bro, 300K, you reckon he's just going to get 300K? He's not going to get endorsements and, you know, under the table AFL money? Let's be fair. Come on, man.
I love how like 300K, oh, it's just small 300K. Yeah, and the rest of us are like 300K.
Yeah, nah.
To play football.
Yeah, nah. Look.
Sign me up, bud.
There's no win in that for Gold Coast other than fan interest.
Yeah.
Like, but it could do a lot. That could still do a lot for their supporter base. Yeah.
That's the only reason they should do it.
Yeah.
Everything else about it, Dusty, I don't know why he would bother other than money. Mm. Fair enough. Like this whole thing, I work with Dimmer again. Like how good must it be to play for one person? Like, come on, I don't buy that.
Look, with all due respect, Dusty Martin, he's not good anymore.
He's
like, he did nothing this year.
No, he's cooked.
So he's not going to add anything unless the maturity and that experience.
Maturity.
I said that. I'm like, wait a second. Yeah, what is Dustin Martin going to tell the boys? Hey, boys, play hard.
Yeah. He'd just be a full time.
You got anything to say for the boys? Woo! I had to put that in.
Nah, he'd be a full time forward that doesn't chase. So you're just hoping he just gets singled out one on one and does a madness. That's about it.
Yeah, and but it could happen.
That's fun.
It could
happen. Sure, but know, like, but yeah, is that what Gold Coast needs to progress as a club? I don't know.
I wouldn't be wasting my time there.
Neither would I.
Yeah. Anyway. That's that was good sesh there, boys.
That's about it. Yeah, well, me and Matt are going to release at some point soon. And George, if you're interested in joining a draft pod, I've got a big list of players to rank.
Yes, yes.
And I've got some hot takes. So if you're interested in a different view on the draft, not just your copy paste, check it out.
Yeah, 100%.
If not, we'll see you next week.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Bye. See you later.
Hey, Ginny, you still going to catch up with Brody next week? Hey, leave my son Jack Inivan alone, all right? Ah, shut up, Sissels, mate. No, you're going to dish it out, you got to take it as well. Ken, you're like 60 years old, mate. I'll wreck you, mate. I'll break your hip. Oh, whoa. You almost dropped me, Sissels. Shut up, Roosty. I've got something happening here, mate. Ken, you're a dog.